This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. Well, hello everyone. This is the Implementation Oversight Task Force, or IOTF, call number 10 on May 25th, 2016. Thank you everyone for joining us today. For the agenda for today's call, we have one item for discussion, which is the PTI implementation approach. The document we have circulated yesterday to the group. I'm noting that Lisa said in the chat room that the connection is very bad. Let's see, are people able to hear me okay?
You are crystal clear from my end, it's Alan.
Yep.
I hear you
Lisa
fine.
Lisa May, Cheryl.
Okay, so Lisa, it may be your line. All right, so Lisa, you will reconnect. Thank you. I'll continue on with the introductions while Lisa reconnect. For the agenda today, we have, as I said, PTI implementation approach to discuss with you. We circulated the a document yesterday, and we'll be going through that document to get your feedback. And then under any other business, we like to provide a status back to you regarding the RZERC charter, and also providing you with an update on the IANA IPR action item that was requested by this group from the last call, and then also discuss the requested IOTF session in Helsinki. We've looked into that and have some additional information now that we can share with you. So, Lisa, glad to hear that you're now able to reconnect and the audio is working fine. So any other items that you would like or anyone would like to add to the agenda? Okay. If not, let's go ahead and get started with the PTI implementation approach. You can load the document. Terrific. Thank you. So this document we circulated yesterday, and the intent is that it is for discussion with the group. It contains some additional information around how PTI will be implemented as requested by this group. This document was drafted based on the discussions that we've had thus far with you regarding PTI and the general agreement that's been reached, that PTI will perform all three IANA functions and that the current IANA staff will be seconded to PTI. So what I'd like to do today is just go through this document with you. I know the page numbers the page counts that the document is 16 pages long, but actually the meat of what needs to be discussed is only about 4 or 5 pages long. So I think we should be doable in terms of getting through that on today's call, and if not, we can continue to cover and continue the discussion on the next call. So if we can move on to the next page, please. Section 1, which is the overview, contains basically what I had just mentioned. So let's take a look at Section 2. There's some weird formatting going on there. Oh, there we go. That's better. So let's go on to Section 2.1, which is the legal formation of the affiliate. So consistent with the ICG proposal, PTI will be incorporated as an affiliate of ICANN, domiciled in California, and with ICANN being the sole member. And as it is said here, the draft bylaws and articles of incorporation for PTI have been circulated for review. And we note that CITLI has reviewed them and has provided some feedback. And, Liz, perhaps as another item for the AOB section of the agenda, maybe we can also discuss what are the next steps in terms of responding to some of the questions raised by CITLI in their review of those documents. So continuing on with this session, as previously mentioned, you know, ICANN will select a name for PTI. We have discussed some options for names internally and are leaning towards using IANA as the name for PTI. So that's where we are with the name. And then once incorporated, the affiliate will file for 501c3 tax-exempt status, which is the equivalent of the nonprofit status for companies here in California. Any comments or questions on Section 2.1 before we move on? Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, I support the name IANA. I suspect we may end up getting flack from people who are saying we cannot tie that name and presumably the intellectual property to an ICANN corporation. But sigh is all I can say. It's the only name that makes sense.
Thanks, Alan. Okay. Any other questions or comments on this section? Okay. Let's move on to the next section then, the Board of Directors. I won't spend too much time on this section because we previously discussed this topic already with this group, and this section just essentially captures the decisions reached on this topic, which essentially is that the ICANN-NOMCOM process will be used for the selection of the non-ICANN directors, and that Jonathan and Lisa will serve as the interim directors until the FY17 NOMCOM process can select the permanent directors. Of course, the ICANN board will appoint and seat all five directors. I want to also flag and note that Sidley has provided some questions for the CWG's consideration around certain aspects of the PTI board, such as who should be the chair of the board and quorum. So I think we will be addressing those types of specific details through the PTI bylaws discussion. Next is the officers. So as per California law and as confirmed by Sidley in their feedback on the PTI bylaws, there will be at minimum a president, a treasurer, and a secretary for PTI. As noted here, the president will be a seconded IANA staff member. And the other officers will be appointed from the pool of direct share resources provided to PTI by ICANN. For those of you not familiar with what ICANN defines as direct shared resources, they are ICANN staff in ICANN departments other than the IANA department who perform activities directly contributing to the IANA functions while also supporting other ICANN functions. So, for example, there are resources in ICANN's IT department that support the RT ticketing and RZMS systems. You know, those would be considered direct shared resources. And we do have provided a complete list of direct share resources in Appendix 4.2 of this document, so that has a lot more details. And then, of course, the appointment of the officers will be the responsibility of the PTI board. So let me stop there and see if there are any questions or comments.
Just so everybody knows, everybody has a scrolling control, so you may scroll as we talk through the document.
Okay. So let's move on to the next section then. If you can scroll down, please. Okay. Let me scroll down. staffing. So as previously discussed with you, ICANN was to call the IANA staff to PTI to perform the IANA functions. We have reviewed the legal relationship between ICANN and PTI with our benefits provider, and they have said that ICANN will be able to provide the seconded employees the same level of benefits. And since the seconded employees will have ICANN as the employer, they will also continue to have all of the legal employment rights that they currently have. And also because they will continue to have ICANN as their employer, all performance reviews and disciplinary actions will follow ICANN's policies and procedures. And the terms of this comment will be specified in the intercompany services agreement between ICANN and PTI. And it will cover sort of how the arrangements of the various agreements between ICANN and PTI will look in the next section. Also important to note is that in the event of separation, ICANN commits to an orderly transition, including provide a seconded employee with employment options at the time of separation. And this commitment will be reflected in the naming functions contract. In fact, you can already see it reflected in section header 8.3.B of the naming function contract header document that we had previously circulated for your review. So let me stop there and see if there are any questions or comments. So Matthew, you have a question in the chat. Do we specify what kind of requirements will be required of the ICANN staff that will be selected for the board? Matthew, are you able to speak, and can you clarify your question?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yes, so we may have gone over this.
Matthew, it seems that your audio is coming in and out.
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm just going back to the prior section, but I was just curious as to whether or not we had set down any particular requirements for the members of the board that would be coming from the ICANN staff. That was my question. And my second question was, will the president, the officer that is going to be the president, who will be seconded IANA staff, be one of the three that come from ICANN as part of the board, or would it be a separate position? Thanks.
Thank you, Matthew, for your question. So the PTI president position, we envision that being an ICANN employee that's seconded to PTI to perform the role. Obviously, it will be the responsibility of the PTI board to appoint the PTI officers. In terms of the PTI board itself and the directors of the PTI board, it is the responsibility of the ICANN board to appoint those directors, including the three ICANN directors. And I have to go back and look at what is actually drafted in the PTI bylaws, but I believe that it is suggested in the PTI bylaws as currently drafted that the PTI president will be one of the ICANN appointed board members on the PTI board. I hope that answered your question. Xavier, did you have something to add?
No.
Okay, thank you. And Chuck, you have your hand up, so please go ahead.
Yeah, and my, by the way, I agree with what you just said, Trang, on the president being on the board. That's what I read in the bylaws this morning as well. My question is of a broader nature. We've been promised now since a meeting in Marrakesh that explanation of the second secondment approach would be provided, giving a lot more details than we've been provided. Now, obviously, some of those are showing up in this document and others, but what is the status of that? I haven't heard anything more on that.
Thank you, Chuck. I apologize for answering your question with another question, but did you have something specific in mind in terms of the type of details that you were looking for that we have not yet shared with you, either via this document or in other forms? Are you looking specifically for the terms of this comment?
Well, I'm surprised I have to even answer that question. As you'll recall, there was quite an uproar in Marrakesh with regard to the approach that staff was taking in terms of not having a complete separation that some people envision now. And we talked about since that after the Marrakesh meeting, and we were promised that there would be a detailed proposal from, I don't know if proposal is the right word, explanation of what staff was talking about and the pros and cons. Now, some of the legal issues have been dealt with, the HR issues, et cetera, that you even talked about a little bit today. But I myself was expecting a document for the whole community to review, not just this team review. Otherwise, we're going to have problems down the road when if people have concerns with this approach. And like I said before, I'm not opposed to the approach, but without seeing the whole package of what's being proposed, not just this group, this task force, but the whole community, I think we're going to cause some problems down the road with people who don't understand it. It'd be much better to have any concerns that people have raised now, not just on this group, but in the community as a whole, than waiting until the last minute and finding out that people have concerns.
Thank you, Chuck. Let me go to Alan real quick, and then we'll respond to that. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. Lisa in the chat said we talked about a legal memo. I wasn't envisioning anything near like that. I was envisioning essentially a bullet list of pros of why it was felt to be better to have them as ICANN employees seconded rather than employed by PTI, and conversely, cons of having them employed by PTI. Some of those are opposites and don't need to be repeated, but some of them may well be different. So I think it's sort of a, and as I said, from my point of view, a bullet list is enough, but just to identify that, yes, it was analyzed, and there was felt that there is strong advantage for many different reasons, not the least of which being the comfort level of the employees, which will help to ensure that the transition does not change IANA, that, you know, so just document it in one place so when people say but, we can hold up that piece of paper. That's certainly what I was looking for. Thank you. And I strongly support the move. It's not, I'm not saying I don't think there are good reasons. I just think we need to have them listed on a piece of paper. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Alan, and thank you, Chuck, for your comment. So I want to take us back a little bit and to about a little over a month ago. I think it was either on IOTF call number 4 or number 5. We had shared with you a legal memo that was constructed, you know, where that detailed our findings after the additional research that we had performed after Marrakesh. So we can circulate that that memo again. Essentially, what we had presented to you on that call was that after the additional legal research that was performed, although there is a gap in terms of the legal protection that would be provided to the employees if they were to be completely moved to PTI, that we can address them via contractual. There's contractual ways to address and close that gap. And so there is really no legal obstacles, you know, on the, you know, as an issue on the table anymore. However, also on that call, we said that our suggestion still would be that the employees are seconded to ICANN rather than being moved completely to PTI. And on that call, there was broad support from this group for that particular approach. And the ask was that, you know, we provide some additional details in terms of how we would go about doing this comment, which is what we've attempted to do here. Yes, Alan noted what you wrote in the chat there. And then, Lisa, you have your hand up, so please go ahead.
Thank you, Trang. Well, actually, I I think what we're looking for is a document that actually argues for the chosen solution, because this is more a solution that, this is chosen, this has the following, implications, but it doesn't really say the pro and cons. And having chosen this solution that I agree with the others, I also support this solution. I think it's fine, but it's good to have the perspective and arguments behind choosing this solution and actually using this to bring back to the community. I should have said this from the beginning, but I think this document is, nevertheless, it's only 4 pages, too complicated for us not to discuss one more time. And actually, in the meanwhile, it would be great to have the pros and cons of why we choose this solution coming from you, and actually to bring to the community. And we need also to discuss, of course, the time frame of this, because I'd like to repeat that even though we can't sign off in this group, we can only say this goes in the direction we've been discussing, and we need to bring it to the CWG anyway to finally sign off. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, so let's capture that as an action item if we could. Please, you go to add some additional details to this document to provide rationale for ICANN's, recommendation for seconding the IANA staff. So we'll work on adding that to the document. And also noted, Liz, around the review process for this document. So Chuck has said in the chat that it needs to be a self-contained document that explains the rationale. That can be done, Chuck, no problem, and maybe we can create that and then reference that document in this document, either way. So Avery, please go ahead.
Thank you. Aubrey speaking. Definitely supporting the write of a better document or a more complete document. But I have two questions that remain unanswered for me. One of them, and I don't remember whether I've brought it up before in the discussions here, but I have brought it up in discussions for before, even with some of the current IANA members, is while I very much accept doing this because of the feelings of the employees, as long as we say that's why we're doing it, which I think is really the only reason, I'm not so sure that same reasoning applies to the CEO of PTI, because I think we need to explain that differently, because that person really has a different relationship in the whole setup of PTI reporting to its directors and not the directors and such of ICANN directly, and not the president of ICANN directly, but really reporting directly to the board of PTI. So I think the reasoning there, and when we're talking about, you know, senior management, that the same touchy-feely concern that we have, and forgive me if that sounds like an insulting way to put it, the HR perspectives that we take to regular employees are often different than those we take to CEOs and senior officials. So I would look to perhaps understand that particular reasoning there. And also, one of the questions I have that's unsolved is, you know, I don't want there to be turnover. There may be turnover. I don't know that there's been decisions to hire more once PTA is created. But what happens with new employees? Are we saying that for all time, all employees of PTI are seconded from ICANN, or are we sort of grandfathering in a secondment for current employees, but accepting that going forward, of course, they would be hired. They would be new hires, and they would be hired directly for PTI. Thanks.
Thank you, Arvi. We'll take note of your request for some additional rationale around the role of the president and why that, that we have recommended that to be a seconded role and not a direct PTI employee role. So we'll make sure that that's included in the, I don't know what we want to call it, the rationale document or that particular document that we'll be drafting. With regards to your other questions around the, whether or not the secondment is only the grandfathering clause of the existing IANA staff or if that would continue in perfect, I won't say perpetuity, but will be also the future state. The way that we had envisioned it is that it will continue in future state as well. Essentially, PTI will identify whatever resources it would need to deliver on the IANA functions and communicate that needs to ICANN. ICANN will then do the hiring, if you would, and then second the employee to PTI. And that would be sort of the arrangement on a forward-moving basis as well. And Xavier, do you have
to add to that for Ivory and the rest of the group is that I think this logic is actually simply to be consistent with the actual purpose of the secondment, which is to avoid creating two different classes of employees in that from a status standpoint and from a benefits in legal consideration standpoint of each of the employees, in that if we would hire new employees in the PTI while the existing current employees would be seconded, then you would have two different statuses for people working together in the same department on the same function. And that's what the secondment approach was allowing to avoid while dedicating nonetheless the employees into the IANA functions operations. So the approach of continuing the secondment even of new positions or new employees allows to dedicate fully the employees to the performance of the IANA functions while avoiding to create two different statuses for employees working in the same function. I don't know if that's helpful.
Avi, is that a new hand or is that an old hand?
Yes, no, it is a new hand. I don't quite accept that, but that's beside the point. It obviously therefore requires a separate discussion in the rationale document. And to my perspective, I think it's sort of overloaded. If we're doing it because, you know, we want to retain, I would think that starting out a separate employment track and obviously giving those that were seconded a chance to join that second track if it became more appealing over time would be a better solution. But that's just one person's opinion. I do think it's quite reasonable that if this is the proposal that you're taking over, that extra issue be discussed and have its own set of rationales for people to look at and discuss. And I'm just sort of giving early warning that while I've bought into the first reason for seconding the current in sort of a grandfathered manner, I don't yet buy into the extra rationale for why all future employees bound to ICANN and such. And that part of what's happened is have given up some of the dotted line existence of PTI because of sensitivity for current employees, but whether giving up that dotted line nature of PTI, that sort of fence around PTI, is worth giving up on the second rationale is a different discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. I think your comment points out or echoes, in my views, the comment from Chuck that we need to explain further the structure of this proposed approach of secondment and its rationale, which will then help informing the discussion and let people like you or others, to your point,
understand better the point and the rationale and the pros and cons, and therefore be able to formulate an opinion.
Thank you. All right, so any other comments or questions before we move on? Chuck, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And I don't want to leave this unsaid. I think this document we're talking about needs to be done soon enough that it has, there's plenty of time for discussion, like several people, including Aubrey, have said, certainly among the full CWG, but maybe even broader than that, to make sure that we can cover all the bases before we get too far down the line and not have to regroup too late in the process. So I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page there.
Yes, I agree, Chuck. Okay, let's see. Next section of the document we'll cover this quickly. This section shows basically the four contracts that we will have between ICANN and PTI. As you can see, if I go from the left-hand side of the graphic, of the first graphic, there will be a subcontracting arrangement with the for the protocol parameters function. There will be also a naming functions contract between ICANN and PTI that will set out the terms for the performance of the naming function. And there will be also a third agreement, which is the intercompany services agreement that will reflect the details of the secondment and then the financial arrangement between ICANN and PTI. And then lastly, there will be a subcontracting arrangement for the number function. On the next graphic, what you can see here is sort of a summary, a graphical summary of what we've discussed so far, which is which shows the first line shows that the ICANN direct share resources, which I talked about earlier, will be provided to PTI to support the IANA functions operations via the intercompany services agreement. So there'll be language in the intercompany services agreement that will require that ICANN provide the necessary direct share resources to support PTI in the delivery of the IANA function operation. Line number two, it shows that the ICANN support services will be allocated to PTI. And support services are basically the IANA function portion of the services provided by ICANN support functions to most or all of ICANN departments. So examples would include like HR or IT or legal, et cetera. There's also I can't remember which appendix, but there's an appendix with additional details on the various support services in this document as well. And then line number three shows that the IANA staff will be seconded to PTI to perform the IANA functions. And the last line, line number four, the light gray one, just basically shows that the officers will be appointed from the direct share resources pool as well as from the seconded IANA staff. Let me pause there and see if there are any questions or comments. Chuck, please go ahead.
Yeah, I don't understand. I asked this question. I don't know if it was in a budget diagram like this or somewhere in the last month or two. But who's in the IANA department in ICANN under this scenario?
Thank you, Chuck. I'm going to ask Xavier to answer because you did submit a similar question to the FY17 budget, and we're in the process of drafting a response to that. So I'll let Xavier answer.
Now, simply, I think it's more logistical than structural. It's simply that in order to ensure that we ring-fence very clearly the resources and associated costs that directly perform the IANA functions, today there is a department in ICANN that's called the IANA department. And that's where their dedicated resources are, and you know those resources. It's basically Elise's team as well as Elise. And simply, this graph is simply saying this is the scope of resources and corresponding costs that will be entirely transferred into the PTI to ensure that the PTI, from a legal entity as well as from a financial perspective, contains the entirety of the costs associated with those direct resources. So don't read too much into the notion of IANA department in ICANN. It's simply logistical to ensure that we capture correctly into one bucket the costs that pertain to the direct resources supporting the IANA functions. We could call it differently if that helps anyone getting over the idea. It's simply to make sure we capture correctly the costs. Does that help, Chuck?
I think so. I suspect that others will, when they see this, are going to have that question over and over again. So the better you can explain that in whatever documents this shows up in, I think it will save confusion on people's part. I think I get that. So it's kind of really an empty department in terms of employees, considering that they're all down below. But it's more of a paper thing for capturing costs than it is anything else. And so I think I get that, Xavier, but I think that, again, the clearer you can make this and anywhere this shows up, I think it will be helpful for people beyond me that'll see this and ask questions. Thanks.
Understood, and thank you for that comment, Chuck. And if I would, qualify differently, we could call this bucket, in quotes, the department to be transferred into the PTI, if you see what I'm saying. That's really what the purpose of that is, simply because, and maybe we'll just adjust that graph to try to make it a little bit more clear and avoid the confusion that it creates. Your comment and perspective shows us that I think we're understanding all the same thing, but we may not have represented it in a fashion that's as clear as it needs to be, considering the fact that we're talking about a change. So we'll revisit that with Trang and see how it makes sense to maybe adjust it for clarity purposes. But I think we're all in sync as to what that represents.
Yep.
Thanks.
All right, so there was James Gannon has sent his apologies, but he had sent in one particular question that he wanted to make sure that we discussed so that he can listen to the response via the recording. And let me see if I don't know if we have that.
Sure, I can post it here.
Perfect, thank you. So just to read it out loud, on the realization of separability of the shared services that ICANN will provide, how will that be captured in the intercompany services agreement, for example, the key management facilities? I think this is more of a budgeting type question, so I don't know, Xavier, if you want to...
Well, presuming that we understand correctly James's question, I think that... So today we capture in the... IANA direct shared resources, and I'm referring to that box that appears at the bottom part within the affiliate box of the figure 2, that these shared resources are contain notably those activities like the key signing process that are directly pertaining to the IANA functions. What I'm not completely clear about James's question, and this is where it will be useful to be maybe able to discuss with him, is the question about separability. I think that all the processes that we have described within the 13 activities, which is an appendix to this document, which is also in the budget document, those 13 activities would all be part of the IANA functions and part of the affiliates as a result. and the resources that contribute to operating those activities would be either direct because they're exclusive employees of the IANA functions today that contribute to them, or shared because maybe, for example, there's an IT resource who supports the key signing ceremonies, as an example, in addition to the dedicated staff. So those resources would come through the direct shared resources. I think I would want to take this conversation to the next step with James to make sure we understand correctly his question about separability of shared services. Because I'm suspecting his question is about which resources are separated and which resources are dedicated. And I think we'll need to be going more in detail with him on that topic, unless there's other comments from others that we can take at this stage.
Xavier, this is Akram, if I may.
Please.
So what I understand from the question is, in a normal separation, you would have a transition agreement for the shared services, and we need to be very clear on how this will happen. So if a separation happens, we'll continue to provide HR services, IT services, legal services, all of the shared services, until they have a standalone services, or as a we enter into permanent contracts to provide these services. So we need to have that clearly articulated in the separation plan. So.
Thank you, Akram. Okay. Any other comments? Okay. If not, then let's move on to the next agenda topic. I think we've captured a few action items relating to this plan, so we'll be drafting a separate rationale document addressing what I heard with three specific areas, and then we'll circulate it back to this group for review. Okay. Let's move on to the AOB. So the first item on the AOB is captured here in the notes section, is next steps on responding back to Sidley on the PTI formation documents. I know Jonathan and Lisa, you probably have not had a chance to chat with Jonathan with regards to what the next steps are to respond to Sidley's various questions on the PTI formation documents. But it would be really helpful to get a better understanding of what, if any, expectations are expected from this group, and/or what the process will be to provide responses back to Sidley. So we just want to flag that for now.
Oh, yes.
Yes, hi.
I actually had a chance to discuss briefly with Jonathan, so it's not deeply discussed, but we had a client committee call regarding Annex C and Section 7 and 8. And Paul Kane was on that call, and we had went through the sections very deeply, and Sidley has made a first response on those concerns on how to deal with them, and those have been circulated to the client committee, and we're looking at them at the moment. Furthermore, the PTI docs has actually been reviewed, as you said, by Sidley and commented by them, and they have been sent to the CWG. And we are planning on having a CWG call next week. So we need to know from you if that's timely enough, or there's any deadlines that we should be aware of. That is actually putting that meeting under pressure, or what we should do with it. So for us, it's really important to align the deadlines with you, because the plan is that we actually review the answers with CITLE, with the CWG, on next Thursday, the 2nd of June, I think it is. And if that's creating trouble for the implementation, we need to know it.
Thank you, Lisa.
So that's our brief review, because we actually delayed our plan on how to process the document until we've had this call. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. So according to our timeline right now, we've slated for discussions of the PTI formation documents. We've slated to have until sort of the latter part of June for discussions with the CWG on those documents. So I think from a timing perspective, a call next week, it should be fine. It shouldn't be an issue with it.
Okay.
Good.
So actually, we'll stick with the plan that we will discuss it with the CWG next Thursday, and try to process the answers as soon as possible. But I believe you're CC on all the answers from CITLE. Have you seen those? So you have them in parallel?
Yes, thank you, Lisa. I do have them, and I've taken a look at them, and and it's also been circulated to a few other folks internally to take a look at as well. As you know, our legal team is sort of all hands on deck this week on the bylaws, so they haven't had time to take a close look at the at CITLE's comments. But I would expect that once the bylaws are behind us, that they will this will be on the top of their list.
But that's fine. I just want to ensure that you're in the loop all the time, so no surprises are coming your way. So, but for us, the next step is actually the concern that's been raised with Paul. There is a conversation ongoing with him regarding the CITLE responses to those concerns. And we'll send it to the rest of the CWG whenever that's been sorted out. But the primary, the first response from CITLE has been sent to the CWG.
Yes, I believe I've seen that document as well, and it's also been forwarded on to our legal team as an FYI.
That's good.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. All right, so the next item, the Arzurk charter status. As I mentioned, our legal team has been very busy, with the bylaws activities. Unfortunately, we don't have yet a charter to share with you today, but I don't know when next week's IOTF call is, but we can try to target to have that document ready for your review next week. And essentially, the term sheet essentially contains all of the details that would be reflected in the charter. All that we're doing is doing some wrapping around it so that it actually reads like a charter, and then putting the document into a paragraph format instead of a table format. Okay. So we'll try to target having that document ready for the group's review on next Tuesday's call. Okay. And then if we can now potentially skip over the next item and go to the Helsinki topic, because Alan has a hard stop at the top of the hour. So Alan, I'll just maybe set this up and then please chime in. So Alan had asked for help with taking a look at the Helsinki calendar and potentially identifying some time slots on there for an IOTF session in Helsinki. And the advice that we've gotten is that during the second week of June is when we would have the ability to put in a request for a time slot to have such a session. And so between now and then, I think if we want to hold that session, we need to take a look at the schedule and identify some potential time slots so that when the calendar opens up the second week of June, we can then submit the request. Alan, is there anything that you want to add on that?
No, not really. It turned out that if ALAC was to request the session, I had to swear in blood and promise my wife's firstborn that this was really a policy discussion. And I didn't feel that that was appropriate. So this methodology should work better. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. So there seems to be support for a slot, time slot in Helsinki for this group to provide an update to the community on the various implementation activities. So what I may, if I could, suggest is that maybe ICANN staff would take a look at the current schedule and identify some potential time slots, and then we could do a doodle poll with this group to see which of those time slots would be best suited, and then once the schedule opens up the second week of June, then we can submit the request.
But Alan, don't believe that despite the Trang's force of persuasion that we're not going to have to also give in your firstborn to be able to get that meeting scheduled in Helsinki.
No, but apparently if it, I would forfeit everything if I couldn't prove that it was really a policy discussion. Thus are the rules that have been set.
Yep.
We're just trying to abide by the meeting bee's schedule, you know.
The meeting bee schedule said nothing about only policy. That's an invention of someone else. Let's not go there, please.
Don't go there.
I'm afraid I have to leave in a few minutes. we don't have the time to have this discussion.
All right, so we only have a few minutes left. So one item left to provide an update on, which is a question that was raised by this group on the last IOTF call with regards to valuation of the IANA IPR. And we are looking, I've had some conversations with Xavier on that, and we'll try to prepare something in time for potentially next Tuesday's call. Does that timing work for you, Xavier? Okay. So we'll target providing the group with an update on that on next Tuesday's call. Okay. Any final comments before we close, Yuko?
If I may, I will be closing the doodle poll to set the schedule for IOTF call number 12. So if you could please vote for the time slot that works for you within the next 2 hours, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Lisa, please go ahead.
I just want to ensure that we capture in the notes that we're actually going to give it another look, the PTI implementation approach document as such. So we both next time have to review the rationale document for this and also the approach document itself. Thank you.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Next time we have the call.
Yes, certainly. We will continue to have discussions on this on the next call, certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else from anyone?
All good.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, and we'll talk again next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Can we please stop the recording?